CliffCentral.com.
Yes, CliffCentral.com on a Monday morning. So what's happening on the MKT show? Every day I hear that that commercial, and things are getting hot down there. I mean, I watched a little clip over the weekend on Instagram of you guys taking the piss out of each other, which was hilarious. How are things looking on the sports front, Cliff Central sports front?
So things are looking up. So people are used to seeing Spike. Obviously, he's our Formula One guy.
Yes.
So he'll be with us on World Confirm Tuesday or Wednesday. I mean, if you're not into Formula One, which I'm not, by the way, make the cars louder again. But I watched it yesterday, no Premier League. Listen, this guy called Max Verstappen, I don't know if you've heard about this guy. So he's,
what was all the fuss about him yesterday? I saw lots of that. What's happening?
So he won in Holland. So Austrian born, but like Dutch now. It's just unbelievable. The atmosphere, I've never seen it in Formula One, right? And I've been to Monza when I was younger. My dad's a big Formula One guy. And they say that's the race of all races. But yesterday was fully orange, like proper Urania. I don't know if you remember the famous Dutch teams of the 90s and noughties, like the Urania. They've never seen anything like it, is what all the commentators were saying in Formula One. And he won at home. They haven't had one, you know, a Dutch guy won at home. And he's probably going to win the title unless Lewis turns it around.
What is there? So something really special about the Dutch. What was that thing they did with the World Cup? Leanne, you were a bit of a Holland supporter when they came out, right?
Hup Holland. Yeah, absolutely.
Hup Holland. That was it. Yes. Hup Holland.
Hup Holland. Hup.
My God, you remember that. So there's something about the Dutch, though. They really do seem to have more fun than anyone else. Like, if you think of the Germans or the Austrians, terribly serious people. I mean, obviously, they're exceptions, right? But there are these stereotypes that the French can be quite grumpy and self-absorbed.
Mm-hmm.
The Spanish are quite fun, but they're also a bit lazy. The Dutch have this, like, obviously, these are terrible, like, stereotypes, but the Dutch have got this great reputation just for being the most fun people in Europe. They have the most fun. They laugh the most. They're exuberant people. They kind of, yeah, that language and accent is just horrendous. But they are fun. Like, I genuinely love.
All the mother hating Martin Horton.
Yeah, and I've never met a Dutch person who didn't fit that category. They all mostly have a really happy time. They're enjoying being alive, which you can't say for the British, for example, you know, grumpy and sometimes a little pompous. But the Dutch are just fantastic. So whenever they find some national thing to rally around, it becomes like this sea of orange. And also, that's their color, right? There's no other countries trying to steal orange from them. That's their color. It's not even on their flag, for God's sake. They don't even have orange on their flag, but it's their color. Love it.
Yeah.
Hup Holland.
Yeah, I know. It was
so
very cool.
Yeah, Ruth says it was incredible. Max deserved to win. I'm so glad for him. Glad LH, that's Lewis Hamilton, right, is taking a back seat. About time. Okay. Yeah, sure. How's that that Chrissy Teigen, though? She's fallen from grace, hey? After being, like, one of the most outspoken loudmouths on social media, she got taken out by a couple of people, and now she's shut her mouth, and she's, like, going on this she's on this big journey at the moment to kind of spread love and kindness, where, you know, just a few short months ago, she was probably one of the main antagonists and protagonists, probably protagonists, in the ugliness that you see on social media. So someone's learned a lesson, even if she's just pretending.
So what's her angle now?
Yeah.
Hmm?
What's her angle now?
She's like putting out these messages of, like, let's be nice to each other and positivity, because she was basically caught being an absolute bitch to, I can't even remember who it was, like some other famous person, I think. And she was just caught out because she doesn't practice what she preaches. So old Chrissy Teigen is she's had a humbling couple of weeks on social media. Anyway, let's just talk about this coffee shortage, because I think that's a very, very serious concern. If you really want to get people upset, tell them they can't have their
sickening
coffee.
So I didn't know this, but Vietnam is the second biggest exporter of coffee in the world.
Sure.
And what's happening there is, because of a severe strain that's now peaked its ugly head, there are huge measures to curtail exports, which is really affecting the coffee supply in the whole world. You'd think that Brazil could perhaps carry it itself, but they've struggled with drought and with frost as well, so their coffee harvests have been damaged.
Mm-hmm.
And the world is facing a potential for a major coffee shortage. And if not shortage, then the prices are going to go sky high.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah, that's pretty scary for coffee.
Well, it's Africa's time. West Africa, the rise.
Yeah, correct. Like this is our chance to fill the gap in the market,
yes.
Right?
And my sister lives in Cote d'Ivoire, just to tell you. And I always, it's interesting. I don't know if you know this. I don't know if either of you have been there.
No.
But it was interesting to me when I went there. I thought, oh, I'm going to have the best chocolate in the world back then. I ate chocolate. And, you know, the coffee, That's not a thing there. They make it to export it. Like in Cote d'Ivoire, it is not a thing to, like, coffee, the cocoa is, we make it, it's off the farm, boom, send it to the rich white folks in France and the UK. That's really what's happening. So, yeah, it's so interesting. And they've got the best, by the way, by a mile. By a mile, the coffee up there is unbelievable.
But you also like the East Coast stuff, don't you? You like Kenyan stuff.
Yeah, Kenyan and Malawian. I mean, listen, Africa has the best. And I've tried, not everything, but I've tried the world's most expensive coffee. Literally, I've had it. And I promise you, we've got. So, Leanne, this is disastrous, by the way. But for my fellow coffee lovers, you're saying, now, what, no beans from Vietnam, huh?
Yeah, that and also Brazil. So, yeah.
Good God.
Vietnam are known for producing the more bitter coffees.
Right.
So, you know, again, I'm not a coffee connoisseur and don't drink it at all. So I think it's one of those times where I'm able to sit back and say and watch everyone else panic except for me.
I'm taking a pleasure.
Yeah, kind of. It's interesting as well for me to see how reliant people are on coffee and how much their lives depend on it. You know, when I'm in a coffee shop, I just think the noises that come with grinding coffee and the steam machines and everything is just so obnoxious. And I can't understand why you have to announce to everybody that you're making coffee. When I'm sitting with my little loose tea steeping in my double teapot, very quietly, and all I'm doing is adding water and it's done. So it's always, I'm on the border of irritation with coffee obsession and coffee culture.
Right. Now, I get that coffee people are obnoxious, but then a lot of wine people can be very obnoxious. I mean, is there anything worse than those very, very pretentious people who sit and compare the tastes of the different notes that they're getting from their Sauvignon Blanc or their Cabernet. I mean, really, do me a favor. They crawl right up their own backside sometimes. So those people are as bad as the coffee snobs. But I do understand, and I'm always going to – Bulelo, you kind of taught me this. Like, why have a shitty cup of coffee? Why have a shitty glass of wine? Why drink water that is full of sewage when you can drink the good stuff, you know?
Yeah. No, absolutely. So I
think that's the way to go. So the most obnoxious coffee drinker is a bullet coffee drinker, says Ben. So what is a bullet coffee is the one with the melted butter or something in it, right? Yeah. Jesus. Mm. That sounds like something heavy. I've never even wanted to try that. Even if someone else makes it and they make it really well. Mm-mm. The best in Africa is black coffee. Try it one-handed. Oh, that's just vicious.
Oh
my God.
You know.
No, really. There's always got to be one.
Oh.
So Dogozo is agreeing. East Africa also provides some really good coffee. Apparently, if all else fails, we still have tea. Yeah.
You're right. Rooibos, a biggie rooibos.
Hey,
with the rusks, Omar rusks.
So Jeremy says, go. Mbulelo, this one's yours. Nothing wrong with coffee haze in Frisco.
All right. It's people like Jeremy who should not be allowed to have children. You're a danger to society. It's these kinds of people that are eroding the fabric of what Nelson Mandela was trying to build. Unbelievable.
Zanzibar Coffee House in Stone Town was the best coffee I've ever had, says Jamie.
Wow.
Hmm. And apparently, according to Shani, coffee was discovered in Ethiopia. Wasn't it, weren't the Arabs mostly responsible for that?
like everyone has their story, right?
Okay.
When I was, you know, you go to South America, when I did the tour there, the Bolivians will tell you, actually, it was us. And okay. Like, so everyone's got their own lie, you know?
I got you.
It's important to you. Who was saying, was it on the Burning Platform last week, where you need the national identity to stem from your own lies repeated enough times?
Yes, and by the way, on that note, talking about national identity and solving problems, you know, we love having conversations about things, but I love it even more when people come with practical solutions for stuff. I interviewed Muzi Kuzwayo last week, who is someone we've worked with at Cliff Central before. He's an old friend. He's one of those people who I can always rely on for some wisdom. And Muzi's written a book, South Africa's Promise, and you've got to hear the discussion I had with him. In fact, Dari, who produces the show, she was listening to the interview. She said to me afterwards, I'm downloading this book immediately. It's free, so you don't need to go buy it. But it's the most incredible book, and it's full of practical solutions to all of our problems. And Muzi just decided he's going to sort this out. He's sick of hearing other people complaining and never doing anything, so he's going to make it right. So that's coming up this week. We'll let you hear it as soon as it's ready. So apparently, Mbulelo, you had another step in the direction of disaster with your nightmare neighbors. You've had to send a second email to the body corporate. This is the one who's moved in with children and they're not allowed to, right?
Yeah. So now yesterday, obviously, what happens with kids is you get other kids who visit. Right?
Yeah.
And now it's a nightmare. What happens? Trying to enjoy my Sunday, just come back from the gym, you know, just trying to live my life, spoke to the family, have a family call once a month. I get a knock on the door.
Yep.
Hi, we hit the ball over the wall. Oh, my God. I thought, oh, my God, this is my life now. Like, I have no privacy now. This is, you know, my father used to say to me all the time, when somebody tells you who they are, believe them the first time.
Yes.
This is my life now. This is what it is. 20 minutes later.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
Oh, my God.
So now, like, I have to nip it in the bud, right? You're not allowed children in this complex. I want my privacy. I'm sorry. Like, I didn't move in here. Like, I'm happy for you that you have kids. Nothing wrong with kids, by the way. I know. Like, it's fantastic. Go and live somewhere else. Like, this is not it. I'm not doing this for my summer. I'm not having, like, a summer where I've got to sit outside with earphones on because your kids are screaming in a complex where you're actually breaking the rules already. So now I'm, I was at the brink of hell before. Like, okay, they're screaming through the wall. I'm living in hell now.
I'm sorry.
I'm living in hell. Little girls are screaming now on a Sunday and throwing a ball over my wall.
I'm so sorry I'm laughing, but I do think this is funny. I can see you kind of melting down in your house going, oh, God, this is what the rest of my year is going to be like. This is what it's going to sound like. Well, I had a rude awakening on Saturday morning. I sat bolt upright in bed at like 6:30 on Saturday morning because there was, I don't know what the neighbor on the opposite side of the road was doing, but it sounded like Armageddon. Leaf blowers and lawnmowers and grass cutters and people shouting and shit dropping on the ground. It sounded like there was a battle going on. I don't know. 6:30 in the morning on a Saturday. Surely that's not right.
And also, so just something like, I don't know if either of you've been to India, but if you've been to India, it's just a noisy place. Like everywhere is an assault.
There's a whole lot going on. Yeah.
So the family's from India, right?
Right.
Not like Durban Indian. Indian.
I got you.
So they're drilling at 6:30 on a Sunday. I now had to go over there. Like, no, excuse me. No. We're doing this at 12 o'clock on a Tuesday.
So
did you say
something? I mean, you actually took them on straight away. Okay, good.
Of course. Oh. Gareth, you have to. Uh-huh. Like, I refuse in my personal life, right, to not let people know immediately where they stand with me.
Right.
Like, I don't want people to think, oh, you might be a good oak. I could probably push it. Like, no, you will not drill next to me at 6:30. Absolutely not.
Wow. Okay. I do love this. This is.
I live in hell now.
I'm having a lot of fun hearing you breaking down over this shit. And isn't it now? This is how you know you're old, because when you start complaining about the noises that your neighbor's kids are making, then you know you're old, right? That's now your that's your reality. Oh my God, how funny! I do love it. All right. Well, Leanne's looking for a housemate. Maybe you can send that family to her. They can live in her house. I'm sure you'll love that, right? That's your thing.
I put out my expectations already. Thank you.
You were rejected roundly. They decided. Too picky. Too picky. All right. How did these neighbors get to move in if there are these rules? Don't people check at the gate? That's what Zillin says.
No.
And are they aware yet is what I want to know, that they're not supposed to be there with children?
Well, I've sent the email to the body corp and to the owner. I got hold of the owner's email address. So now I sent him another email yesterday. I said, Paul, what's going on here?
You
know the rules.
You will forgive me, but you could be mistaken for a Karen. I mean, those are very Karen moves.
No, but listen, I'm at least I'm addressing it directly. It's not I'm going to the body corp. I'm going straight to the guy who owns the house.
Bulalo, I'm not in any way criticizing your direction here. I think this is exactly, but it is a little Karen-like, you know. If you were a white woman with a bob haircut and you had, and you wore sensible shoes, and you were spying over the neighbor's wall the whole time, then I would say, well, this is the kind of behavior I expect from you. It's almost like the stereotypes we were talking about just a moment ago with Olive.
Oh, got you.
This is what you are, but it turns out you're not a Karen in terms of appearance, but deep down inside, I think you are.
Absolutely. That's a good point. I hear you.
Here's another Mbulelo. This Mbulelo says, lol, try living in a township. You get used to the mayhem, and then it becomes strange when it's quiet. Yeah. Mm. Yes. And an actual Karen has replied and said, Gareth Cliff, not so. Okay.
I think the only bit of forgiveness we have in this country is that we pronounce it Karen.
Yeah.
That's the only way I'm thinking that, because I mean, shout out to my friend Karen, who's probably listening. And every time I see a Karen video, I think, I wonder how Karen feels about this.
Yeah. I know some Karens and some Karens, and I've now started to use the pejorative with either of them or whichever of them I'm talking to, and they seem to be okay with it. They've taken on, you know, some of the Karen stuff they've taken on. They've accepted that that's part of them as well. It's just great. Secretly, Bulelo is an old white lady. Yes, probably. That's what Good Stuff says. But Dogoza says, Bulelo sounds more like a Kyle than a Karen. Karens are sometimes important to society. We need people to complain. Yeah. Body corporates, says, this is Jeremy who drinks the Frisco, by the way. Body corporates are failing more and more these days. Nobody has the guts to lay down the rules in apartments anymore. I see it daily. Well, again, I was talking to a family friend of ours yesterday about the neighbor issue, because he's had neighbors from hell. Like, he had Nigerians running like a drug racket out of the apartment above him for a while. Then he had a couple who would have loud sex and leave all their windows open so everybody could hear all the dirty talk. And he actually recorded. He recorded from his apartment just a voice note on his phone, and you could hear her. Like, just she was making all the noises and saying all the dirtiest things that she could. And every day, he said that these two had a huge amount of sex and that they were noisy as hell. And now he's got, like, screaming little girls living down there. And he calls her Damien, because, you know, the devil's child, basically the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
And he says she'll be sitting in the garden going dam de dam de dam, playing with her toys, and then suddenly the toys start getting very fractious with each other and start having proper fights. Like, her Barbie dolls start, like, attacking each other, and there's screaming that ensues. It's just this one little girl on her own. Hilarious. It really is funny. I live in an area where there's always mayhem, says Ruv 1. I've moved to stay in Mafeking for 6 months initially, but lasted only 2 weeks and moved back. It's too quiet for my taste. Well, that's another thing that I think is a bit creepy, is like, if everything is deadly quiet, you wonder if you might have stumbled into an episode of The Walking Dead, right? If it's too quiet, if you don't hear any other people. That can be very jarring, too. That can be upsetting to some people.
Yeah, no, shout out to them. But I don't live in my house, so I can hear your kids. That's like, hey, give it to me, like, exactly what you said, Walking Dead. That's why I pay the fee to live in the house I live in with the rules that it has. So I think we're about to have a situation, if I'm being honest.
Oh, you think it's going to escalate to like a proper conflict? Then you need Dr. Hanan. That's what you need. Red Robin says, the only people who listen to both sides of a family quarrel are the next door neighbors. Beautiful.
Yeah, conflict resolution 101 should be the neighbors, you know, coming in and saying, now listen, objectively,
yeah,
I've heard both sides.
Yeah, we'll sort your problems out. Oh my God.
Yeah.
So I'm going to head down to Cape Town for a birthday, not this coming weekend, but the next one, because I made a decision to just to do it. And I've realized, like, that's going to be the longest I'll ever have a mask on my face since the beginning of lockdown, because I don't really go anywhere where I have to wear a mask, and I'll do it in the shops because otherwise they won't let you in. But I realize I'm going to be on the plane for like 2 hours and then some on either side with, you know, transport and so on.
Yeah.
What's the best one to use? I mean, I buy those disposable ones because then I can go through them. I don't have to reuse them. They don't lie around and become more and more gross as time goes by. Are those the best ones to go for? Are they the most comfortable? Because I haven't tried a lot of them. I mean, I sound like an idiot here because I honestly haven't worn any.
Those, I mean, firstly, sympathies to people who have to wear them for 8 to 16 hour shifts.
Mm-hmm.
But just in my experience, the disposable ones for me are the easiest to breathe through. But they're quite rough on the edges and they irritate my skin.
Yeah.
So I found these ones that I bought online that are the softest fabric.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So I mean, it's a bit late now for you. Although, when are you going this weekend?
I'll send you a link next weekend. No, next weekend. So I've got time.
I'll send you a link. They're really soft and comfy.
Okay.
And they come in black, gray, and pink. So I recommend you wear the pink ones.
But wouldn't you want to get an N95 if you're going to have to sit next to somebody you've never met who probably was...
No, for Gareth, it's not protection.
I'm not scared. No, don't get me wrong.
Comfort.
I would rather not wear a mask at all. In other words, my fear is not coronavirus. It's which one can I wear that is going to irritate me the least. So Leanne is spot on.
Oh, I got you.
I don't care about the coronavirus. I've told you that.
That's like picking a partner. You don't really want to do it, but which one is going to annoy you the least?
Yeah.
For the rest of it. Okay.
Cabela says, use a face shield. No, I don't think I will. That's ridiculous. I'm not.
Gatcliffe Court on a plane with that. Like, is that like the ladies at the till?
Like a welding helmet.
Okay, sorry, Gareth, can I have a photo? Sorry.
Well, this is the funny thing. So I bumped into somebody the other day, and they said, oh, you know, can I have a picture with you? So I said, of course you can. And then all the masks and things came off, and I was like, okay, so why do you bother the rest of
Bring your head in closer.
No, I was fine with it. Didn't mind. But imagine me wearing a visor. That would be ridiculous. Get that one that tightens on your head rather than around your ears. It's much more comfortable. Titans around your head. Like, oh, right, Bane. I got you. Okay. I'm scared of other germs on planes, which is why I won't wear reusables on the plane. And also, you know, you've got to then put it somewhere. I throw them away straight away as soon as I've worn them. They've got to go.
Now that we're here.
Yeah.
Sorry, before we go to this one, is have you ever had any, like, ask for a photo and people, like, I don't know if I've ever told you the story, but when I was in South America, not too many melanin-rich people there.
Yes.
And in South America, they're not like us here, where they're polite. So, like, people were literally, these chicks were licking me in places. By the way, real thing.
Very nice. Very nice.
Anywho, have you ever had that, like, where somebody adores you so much, they just, like, cannot help but touch you and go as far as lick or not?
If someone did that to me, out of the blue, I would probably get physically aggressive with them. I don't want to be licked by someone I don't know.
No.
I mean, the closest
I've experienced to that is being in Mauritius as a young blonde woman.
Yeah.
That was pretty exciting for the Mauritians, the locals. But there was still a great amount of respect, which was great.
And Leanne, you never had anyone like go full on, oh my God, there's Leanne Moll. Boom, let me touch her huge tracts of land. or whatever.
If I have, it's usually been women, which has been quite flattering.
Okay.
But no, I usually have people walking behind me going, oh my God, that's the Ann Moll in front of me, as if I'm deaf.
Yeah.
Because
You also had that.
You can usually talk about me.
But you did have that kindly Chinese gentleman in the lift try to lick you. I mean, he did lick
Lord.
You. Yeah.
No, he did. He licked my face. But that was a case of assault.
That was actual. Yeah, that was molestation.
Yeah,
what?
I mean, he had his hands up my dress.
Yeah,
he
was Xi Jinping. He's now the premier of China.
Good for him.
Just being around Li Ann Moll accelerated his development very fast. He rose to the
highly
top.
Highly dark.
Rose right to the top of the Chinese Communist Party after that. It was fantastic. All right, I got an email here from Deirdre. She says, hey, guys, I listen to your podcast from Australia. I've been here 11 years. And it's a valued connection to South Africa. I just listened to your Friday segment on feminism. Leanne, you're great, but the fight will never be over until men stop hurting women, until women carry more than their fair share of the domestic and mental load of caring for the family, plus holding down a job in many cases. Gareth, you're infuriating, but I appreciate your perspective on some things. Okay. Bomamalelo, I aspire to be as phenomenal as you are. You're an inspiration. Look at that.
We can't trust this person. I mean, shout out to you in Australia, but anybody who's looking.
Since we're talking about Australia, and we've got Collectomania coming up in a moment, by the way, but since we're talking about Australia, I see that some of the premiers of the various provinces in Australia are starting to relax their lockdown mania, because they've now got international pressure. Like, the rest of the world is making fun of them. And if there's anything that Australians respond to, it's being made fun of. So they suddenly started
There's a lot of pushback as well from the public.
Yeah.
They're now, you know, hurtful. So that's happening too.
Rightly so.
So there's a whole situation. I don't know if you know this, but the rugby championship got moved to Australia, right? And their rugby team right now is honestly the worst thing on the planet, right? They'd lose to Grey Blum's third team, which is a high school in South Africa for our international listeners. Absolutely dog show. But now what's quite weird about that whole thing is the stadium's more full, like New Zealand just absolutely trounced them on the weekend with 14 men. But it's more full of like New Zealand supporters because their rugby team's so crap. But it's weird because they have all these lockdowns, right? But the stadiums are packed. Like, what's going on? Are you worried about COVID or not? Hey, Sheila, are you worried about COVID or not?
Yeah. I don't think people can make their minds up about this thing. They flip-flop, and not just governments, but individuals. Like, people make these weird rules up for themselves. And I was kind of pleased we hadn't gone down the corona path today. But since we're here, and it's my fault for bringing up what mask I should wear. And thanks for all the suggestions, by the way. I'll implement those with 2 weeks to go before my trip. But you know, some people have these rules. They make up these rules. They did this before corona. They'll say, for example, you know, they need to keep some hand sanitizer in their bag, and they'll use that. People were doing this before we had a virus. I don't touch the doors in bathrooms, for example. I've got these weird ways of opening doors that don't involve me having to touch the handle. Yeah. There are lots of, you get the elbow, you get the little thing at the top of the door that automatically closes it. You can push against that with a bit of toilet paper or tissue on your hand, and you can open it that way, and then you hold it with your foot. You hold it with your foot, and you throw the stuff away. Now, I mean, that's not a
hygiene.
What
life are you living?
No. This is what I've always done. Leanne, you know this is me. I mean,
really? Your whole life? You've done this your whole life?
I do not like if I don't know you, I don't want to have any physical contact with anything that you've touched. I don't know where you've been. You might be filthy. And I've always felt that people are generally quite filthy. That's one of the reasons I'm sort of pleased that we don't have to greet the way we used to. Now, you elbow bump people, or you fist bump them, but you don't have to do the handshake with everybody. Like, I do the handshake out of pure politeness, and because that's culturally what I was raised to do. When you greet someone else, you shake their hand. But principally, I actually prefer not to do that stuff. I quite like not touching other people who I haven't decided to touch.
Japanese. You should be Japanese.
Mm.
You're very tall. Might be a problem, but Japanese. Oh, yeah. That's what you really need.
Not just me. Annette says she flushes public toilets with her feet. Yeah, I do that too.
What? How are you people living on this planet? What?
Bolelo, it's very easy. You just,
I used to, in nightclubs, I used to lift a closed toilet lid with my heel.
Yes.
My high heel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Here's a really, really rude question, but it's from Carl, so what do you expect? He says, Leanne, if someone gets physical with you, is it molestation? All right.
Exactly that.
Dustin's giving us the detail here. He says that in Australia, only Victoria, New South Wales, and Australian Capital Territories are in lockdown. The rest of the country, including Perth, where the rugby was played, is not in lockdown. So that's the difference, Bolelo. That's why they can't. Mm-hmm. They look like they haven't made their minds up, but it's because in Victoria and New South Wales, they're very strict. That's Melbourne and Sydney. But in Perth, they don't give a damn. So, just shows you. All right, let's talk a little bit about Collectomania. You know, for the last few weeks, I've been thrilled because we get to unpack someone's collection every day. And we've had incredible people on here. People with toys, people with guns, people with swords, people with whiskeys, people with coins, people with action figures, all kinds of stuff. And Collectomania is fantastic. It is brought to you by the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. And if you are a collector of interesting or unusual things, then get in touch with us. I mean, you're spending a lot of your time and a lot of your money assembling an incredible collection. You should be telling people about it. And we would love to be the way that you get your story out there. I mean, some of these collections are like world record breaking. You know, last week this guy is collecting plastic apes, for heaven's sake. I couldn't think of a more niche thing than plastic apes, and he's got 60,000 of them, and some of them are worth an absolute fortune. Now, my life is incredibly rich because of knowing this, that there's a man who collects plastic apes. Just when you think you know the world, that happens. And then you're suddenly excited. So let us know.
He moved into their house. I don't know if you remember.
Yes.
Our previous collector. Those apes live in the house he's in.
Yes, correct.
It's his second home where he keeps the apes.
Yeah. That's right. So if you have a collection that you want to share with us, contact@cliffcentral.com. That's CONTACT. That's the email we use, the email address we use for all the stuff related to the show. contact@cliffcentral.com, and we will feature you on the show. So Johan is going to join us this morning. He sent this email to me. He says, I love the Collectomania segment on Monday mornings. I believe most people do collect something, whether they realize it or not. And I think that's true. I collect something quite unusual. And to my knowledge, it's something no one else in South Africa collects. And it all started when he was 5 years old. So, hey, Johan, how are you doing, dude?
Hello, guys. How are you?
Good. Nice to see you.
Yeah. Nice to be on the show.
Yeah, listen, thanks for sending us the email. You really got everybody's attention because you said, to your knowledge, no one else in South Africa collects what you collect. And I think part of the clue is what we can see in the background there. So tell us what your collection is and what you started doing at 5 years old.
Well, at five, I started, I developed this infatuation with the Statue of Liberty after my mom was paging through an encyclopedia, and I saw it, and I asked her about it, and she basically explained the history of it to me, and I was just enthralled by it. I couldn't believe that something that big existed or so colossal.
Yeah.
And ever since then, I was trying to collect anything I could about her. So newspaper clippings, little figurines, you name it. But as I mentioned in the email, it's not something you can just walk into a store and buy.
Yeah.
So it's really difficult collecting these, especially if you don't travel as often. So I often rely on friends or friends of friends that goes to the U.S. to actually bring me these little statuettes or whatever they can get.
Well, I mean, in the old days, it wasn't like you could just go online and buy this stuff, right?
No, absolutely. Online shopping was not a thing back then. So I had to, I believe my mom got me one through the post, and this was my first one.
Look at that.
that
so
I received.
What is it
from my mom?
Because
that's pretty substantial.
That's huge in the post. Yeah,
but it says made in China on the back. So even though really it was bought in New York, it was still made in China. But at the time, this was 1992, by the way. And it was amazing because I think I was 10 years old at the time when I got it. And that was the first of many.
So there's something about that statue, right? And I think that when the French made it, and they gave it to America as a gift. I think that they must have known there was something about this that would be symbolic of what the United States wanted to achieve. And they often, you know, especially people who are very pro-immigration, they always have the Statue of Liberty there with that. Bring me your weak, your tired, your hungry, and we will. What is the saying?
Your huddled masses.
That's it.
Yeah. So with the Statue of Liberty, actually, interestingly enough, the Americans didn't want it when it was first proposed by the French. They said that it's going to look like a sack of potatoes with a stick sticking out of it in the harbor. And it was actually Joseph Pulitzer that had to do crowdfunding in the 1883 to actually assist in building the pedestal for it because the U.S. didn't want it.
It's amazing. And it is a beautiful statue. I mean, so obviously it's green because it's made of copper, right?
Yes. The copper, as it corrodes, it actually gets a patina on it, or the patina is a layer. It's like rust for normal steel, but it actually protects the copper. And so that's why she appears as green today.
And have you been to see the actual statue?
Oh, God, Gareth, I wish. It is one of my lifelong goals to go and see it. But at the moment, I think everything's a bit of a mess. And I know that actually trying to go and visit the statue is quite difficult, purely because of the amount of crowds that it draws. But it is something that I would love to do one day.
So let's go back to the collection for a second. So your mom gets you this first one, and you're at a very young age. But you didn't you send a letter to the mayor of New York, who was at that stage, David Dinkins. By the way, I met David Dinkins. I was in New York in 2014, and we did a tribute to Nelson Mandela. And David Dinkins, he was the first black mayor of New York, and he's still in politics. Well, I think he died just a short while ago, but he was in politics up to then. And a really charismatic, interesting dude. So he was mayor, and you decided to send him a letter.
Well, my mom actually did without me knowing, and she kept on writing him letters with little pictures that I would draw at school, and she would include those little pictures of the statue in with those letters, and one day he asked Alexandria Mucelli to actually acknowledge the letters and just give her an address to where she can purchase a replica from.
Oh, wow.
So I actually don't know how many letters she wrote, but that just speaks to my infatuation with it, that I couldn't stop talking about it or drawing it. I was actually once I was called into the principal's office. I think I was in grade 2 because in our art class we had made things out of clay, and I made the Statue of Liberty. And my teacher actually thought that I was I had someone do it for me. So I was brought into the principal's office. It was got squashed, and I had to redo it right in front of the principal.
Oh my Lord!
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You know. It has to be funny. Like, you imagine you're the mayor of New York, and some kid has a mom who realizes his obsession is out of control, and she sends you all these drawings that this child has been making of the Statue of Liberty. It must be like, somebody give this child a Statue of Liberty toy. And listen, if you've been to New York, they sell them all over the place. They're cheap as chips. You get key rings. You get versions this big, this big, this big. Now, how many do you have?
I've got about 12 of them at the moment, and most of them, they, like I said, are bought at the airports, or there was only one that I procured from Liberty Island itself, and that it was a gift to myself on my 21st birthday. And it took forever to get here, but yeah. Then also another one that I have that's actually quite valuable is this little one here. She's actually made up from metals that was taken off of the statue during its 100-year renovation. Mm-hmm. And it was melted down into little statues like this and then sold. So they come with a little unique number and a certificate.
So you're telling me that's made out of the original stuff from the actual Statue of Liberty?
Yeah, so the internal ribs from what was made by Gustav Eiffel, so all of the internal structure that they had to replace that was corroded and all of that got taken off, replaced, and all of those metals got melted down into these little figurines.
That's so cool. I think that's amazing.
That's amazing.
So how many altogether now? What are we talking about?
Plus minus 12, and then this one, the big one behind me that I made in 2012, so next year she turns 10. The actual statue turns 135 this year on the 28th of October.
It's amazing.
But now, if we can address the statue in the room, how big is that statue? And you made it? What's it made of?
God, Leanne, you're going to laugh if I tell you. It's made out of window putty.
Okay.
Wow.
Good going. It's better than anything I could imagine.
Well, yeah, she's about the size of a 10-year-old child because she's standing quite tall because of the pedestal that she's on. But I've got on this one's tablet, I made her a little bit more South African. So I gave her the date on the tablet of our National Human Rights Day, which is the 21st of March, which is also coincidentally my mom's birthday. Okay. And then on the bottom of the statue, I've got a little plaque that has got inscribed a segment of Nelson Mandela's inaugurational speech in 1994.
And she's holding an actual globe.
Yeah, she's holding a lamp up there, and it actually changes color, so you can change it to whichever color you
want. So
that's so cool.
That's amazing.
That is awesome.
So
did you have to run electric through her arm and through the body of the statue? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted it as a lamp for my lounge.
Johan, do you think you're going to cry when you see the actual Statue of Liberty one day?
I think I would be beside myself, Gareth, purely because of the rich history and me so wanting to go and see it. But I know that Bulawayo would tell me that it's quite disappointing and it's so small. It's all this, you know how he's like.
Yeah, he says.
And because he's probably been there a million times already. So.
Yeah, he has. He travels a lot. He'll tell you that. What do other people think of this obsession of yours? I mean, at school, it must have been a bit irritating for you because people are like, oh, this guy's, he's single-minded about this. He's completely into the Statue of Liberty. Did people tease you?
No, not really. It was something that I've tried to keep hidden, so not a lot of people know about it. But it's also not to the point of hoarding because it is, like I said, I've only got about 12 of them. So it's not hectically obsessive.
Yeah.
But there are Statue of Liberty collectors groups on Facebook, and those guys get a little bit insane where they change their surnames to Liberty. They they make the facades of the Statue of Liberty on the outside of their houses and things like that. So I'm a mild collector in comparison.
Has anybody said to you that this is a problem? Has anybody been in your company and said, look, please don't tell me any more facts about the Statue of Liberty. I'm over it now.
Oh, no, I don't volunteer those facts unless they ask. So it's not something that I would just go and boast about and say, but did you know that the statue is 46 meters high? Blah, 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 blah.
But by the way, I just like imagine, Johan, you have absolutely nailed it with the statue as a main feature. That as a first date, like... And you don't even tell the person you're on a first date with, click, you just have the clicker like under a pillow on the couch or whatever, every now and then, just boom, the Statue of Liberty is changing for us. Oh, are you kidding me?
Boom, get the romance.
That's now. Oh.
That's romance.
Unbelievable.
It's
just awesome.
Indeed. Okay, so.
I thought this is such an awesome thing to be obsessed with because. It's a message that'll last, you know, it's not like shoes. This is something that matters to all of us, if you're correct of mind, is liberties for everyone. This is a great obsession.
Yep. That's it. I think my fascination with her started with the history of it and what she stood for. And this is something that we didn't really have in this country. And I'm like, my God, why? Yeah. Liberty and freedom for all. That's what it is. And I think out of all of the countries, we should be the ones that should be celebrating it.
Dude, I think it's great. And, you know, if you consider that this statue is a work of art, it's the modern Colossus of Rhodes. I mean, you know, it's a wonder of the world. It's one of the things in New York that everybody wants to see. And it's on this, I mean, it's really quite incredible. I was on a little boat, and you do these boat tours around Liberty Island. And I decided not to get off and actually go up onto the statue because it was beautiful enough from, you know, having seen it from the water and everything. Now, I know, maybe I've missed out there. I mean, you wouldn't have missed out on that. But I also, I've always looked at it as a symbol of more than just being, you know, the lady in New York Harbor or some gift from France to America. I think that there is a part of everybody that kind of just has to nod their head and agree that this is quite a great symbol. Americans are very proud of it, and it's one of the things that all Americans, the ones who are angry with each other the whole time, the ones who are just trying to live their lives, the people in between, they all love that Statue of Liberty. And it's just funny that you're born here in a country like South Africa, and that thing can symbolize for you a whole lot, too. It's beautiful. I love it.
Yeah, it's a shame, though, that some of the Americans use it as a within pop culture to sell hamburgers.
Yeah. Well, listen, keep on collecting these. Let us know when your collection gets up to 100, and then we'll call the police. And I hope you get to see the Statue of Liberty itself one day. I think you sound like you sound like the kind of person. I hope someone's listening who's just got extra money lying around and go, well, let's send this guy to the Statue of Liberty because you can make a documentary on that.
My husband will be thrilled.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Go on your own.
So then don't take any of those dates I was suggesting. Sorry, I didn't realize you were already taken.
Yeah. You know, I wanted to say to Leanne, you know what, if I'm such a super fan that if I wasn't married already and if I wasn't gay, then me and you could have given it a shot, Leanne.
See, Leanne.
Well, I'm not married or gay, so it's definitely an option from my side.
Mm. Yay!
Platonic. All right, I hate to...
Gareth, one more thing before you go. I know last week you spoke about vexillology and the study of flags and all of that.
Yes.
And I agree with you about the rainbow flag. It is atrocious. However, I do like the South African one, the version.
Yeah. Oh, is that a South African gay flag?
Yep, that's it.
Yes. Lovely.
Do you display it somewhere in your house? Or
we've actually got three flagpoles in the yard that when we have our pool parties in Bulelo, the proper ones, they are out and about.
Sounds like a party. I love it. All right, dude. Thank you so much, Johan. Great to meet
you
on the show this morning, and great to have your collection on the show. And I hope we'll hear from you again soon. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Dave. Cheers. Bye.
There we are. That's Johan McClellan and his collection of... I mean, I think it's fascinating. Just
awesome.
Statue of Liberties. Last week we had plastic apes. Now we've got Statue of Liberty. You decide which one you like the most. It's great, right?
What we should do, they should get together and we can redo King Kong. I mean, obviously the famous scene.
Yes.
Hey, we're thinking now. Union Bill, what's it? What's the building that King Kong's
in? You just put two collectors on the same movie. That's what you've just done. I like it.
Very, very
good.
King Kong climbing.
All right. So what's on the agenda for this week? Who's doing what? What's happening?
Got a new trainer.
You got a new trainer?
Ooh.
Yeah. I decided this thing of just being above average, no good. I'm just going to take it to the next level. So I started up the road here. And, yeah, old Ben Karpinski's inspired me to, you should always be taking it to the next level. As much as I think I'm doing it, there's another level. So got a new trainer, started yesterday, and be a whole different human by November.
And I'm always impressed, and I hope that turns out to be, are you going to become like Superman? Is that your eventual end point? Like, how do you know when you've achieved this? You know how Dr. Hanan this morning said, if you don't know where you're going, anywhere will do. So how are you measuring this? Because you're a results-based guy. Are you going to be weighing yourself, doing those caliper things with the muscles to check how big they are? What are you looking for?
Nah, I'm already 10% body fat now. I've gone up from 8%. It's disgusting. So it's time to sort of shed that. But no. It's all about constantly shedding skin, right? There's always a new level to put on. We're always measuring how strong I am or whatever. That's fine. That's one thing. But, I mean, I'm investing now. I've always said to people, I'm investing for when I'm 50, is keep shedding skin. The sports scientists always are saying, here's some new stuff. Let's check your hips. Let's check this. Let's check that. For me, I want to be able to do this for the rest of my life. And while I can do it, I want to know what my apex is, dude. Okay. Like, I'm not really interested in here's the finish line.
I just thought there was a specific goal that you were heading towards with all of this.
I am running 100Ks in November. So we're going to be working towards that and a few hundred milers next year. So there is a short term goal, but.
All right, so just a quick reminder, if you enjoy Collectomania, then you've got to tell us if you've got a collection. We want to feature it. So send us an email, contact@cliffcentral.com, no matter how weird your collection is, because you've seen, like, we've done a bunch of pretty bizarre collections here on the show. We want to hear from you. Collectomania brought to you by the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. And if you are interested in sharing your collection with us, then email us ASAP like Johan did. All right. Have a happy week, everybody. We will see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. bright and early. Coming up, we've got Muzi Kuzwayo. And I mentioned that Muzi is an old friend, but he's just written an incredible book called South Africa's Promise. And it's a mini manual for the new heroes and heroines that South Africa needs. That could be you. So don't miss this. It's coming up.
A manual late.
Exactly. An 8 a.m., that's just now, interview with Muzi Kuzwayo. Take a listen to it. It'll help you get through your day. It'll help South Africa get through a pretty tough time. And hopefully we'll solve some problems at the same time.
Just before we go.
Yes.
You preempted the story about the sound engineer.
Oh, shit. Yes. Yeah. Do we have time for that?
So, go. I just want to give a quick summary. So he is a qualified sound engineer. And his name's Given Ngwamba. Mm-hmm. And he struggled for years to find a stable job in the media field. He even applied to the SABC. Not even they would have him.
Not even the SABC. Sure.
It's just the nature of the business.
Right.
But he noticed people in his area making charcoal from, you know, trees, et cetera. And these are very rudimental, metal drums with metal pipes that act as a chimney. They're laid onto bricks, and you burn this waste and create these coal briquettes.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought he would give it a try, but he went one step further and he said, look, I'm not going to chop down trees because I understand what conserving the environment is about.
Right.
And so he started finding used sugar cane and mango peels and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Waste from mango trees and coconut itself, all this agricultural waste, and started burning this himself. And he's got the best charcoal on the market in the area. It burns the best. It has the least smoke, so much so that he now supplies Pick and Pay in his province, which I think is amazing. Currently in talks with Spar as well to get his charcoal out there.
You know, this is a guy who's burning stuff to make a product, which, you know, he was a qualified sound engineer, but now he's doing this, and it just shows you have no excuse. None of us have an excuse. If this guy can make a successful business and supply Pick and Pay now, which is probably a really big contract, I mean, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with you?
I think it's amazing. He's now got a whole team. He's still doing it in his backyard on an empty piece of land to produce the charcoal, and they are now in the works to have a warehouse built.
Amazing. Yeah, I'm glad.
And if you're interested, you're in Mpumalanga, it is the Nzilo charcoal briquettes.
Nice. Nzilo. All right. Thanks, Ass. I'm glad because I completely forgot about that story, but I kind of threw it in there and we needed to get to it. So I'm glad you remembered. We'll see you on Friday. Bulelo and I will be back with you tomorrow morning. It's Tuesday tomorrow and we've got the month of September that is stretched out in front of us and good weather on the way. Good things. Cheers. CliffCentral.com.